Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
That's Dana and Fairy Tale. Just saying, that track just does not get enough play, does it? Because we're talking sort of fairy tales with James Steadman and Carla Keane. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi there. Hi.
And you're from the Ministry of Unplanned Occurrences. You had a bit of an unplanned occurrence on the way here, Carla.
Didn't
you? Got stuck in traffic. But you're here now, and you're here to talk about Twisted Tales, which is on at the ADC Theatre from the 4th to the 6th of April. So, Twisted Tales, why? We played Fairy Tale, because it is related to fairy tales, isn't it? Why Twisted?
It's one of these sort of stories sort of comes out, I guess, almost urban legend to some extent, in the sense that we were talking about what sort of project we wanted to do next, and childhood came up, and we're talking about just the various fairy tales that that you do have where, growing up, and sort of points of cultural sort of recognition that that we have, and how they, and we sort of, as is very much in improv mode, you sort of go, well, if that's true, what else is true, and what happens next, and sort of the tagline that Carla quite came up with, which was lovely, which what happens after, happily ever after, sort of thing. And we started playing with those characters and sort of fell in love with them a bit.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that this particular group, we've been working with each other for about a year and a half, and it's something that these sort of ideas around, we did a show which was based on myths and legends previously. We've done another show which was based on sort of lost objects, things that get lost down the sofa. Mm. So I think this group, in terms of creating art, improv, theatre, we're really interested in stories, things about what happens after, as James said, what gets lost, the stories that aren't told. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that really intrigues us, and this kind of taps into that as well.
And they're full of big stuff as well, fairy tales, aren't they? The big emotions, betrayal, jealousy, hate, love.
Which is ripe for improv.
Absolutely.
That's a good reason for us wanting to do it. It's exactly that. It's like, I think I like to think of it like it's a big pool. It's like it's tapping into that otherworldliness that I think all art and theatre does tap into. We're just kind of pulling that out and channeling it a little bit. I think we're putting a contemporary spin on it, which is also another interesting thing. It's kind of like the idea of, if these characters existed now, what would it mean? What would the evil stepmother be like? What would be her mirror? Well, it would probably be social media, for example. So those kind of things.
Yeah, and also obviously the fairy tales are a sort of cultural history to some extent, and what that sort of means in everyday situations as well. I mean, I talk about this one a lot, and it's on the poster actually. What if Daddy Bear worked in IT nowadays? which was a lovely. He came out in a rehearsal that we were doing, and I just kind of fell in love with him, and he ended up on the poster. He may or may not make an appearance. Obviously, it will be dependent on what comes out on the night.
Yes, because this is improvisation, so you are waiting for what the audience give you. Is that right?
Yes.
So we're going to be asking the audience for fairy tales, and that means that we could be using anything from within that. So it could be that the location inspires us, it could be the characters inspire us, it could be just the idea, the moral of the story inspire us. So it could be anything, but that's what we'll be asking the audience for, is like their favourite fairy tales. And that could be like folk tales, anything like that. Yeah. So we did a rehearsal with, I think, St. Patrick.
We had St. Patrick and the Snakes, and we had, to some extent, we also did something with Ladybird, Fly Away Home, which was lovely. We ended up in a fire station. It's quite brash and forthright fire people, which was desperately exciting. And then also this whole, obviously there's morals at the heart of fairy tales often, and there's sort of these continual rifts, I suppose. Goldilocks, everything is too hot or everything is too cold, and just that perfect thing. She at one point became a diva, a Beyonce type diva. so there's lots of fun things to play with. It's just a gorgeous world to inhabit.
You had to brush up on your fairy tales then?
A little bit, yeah. So I've been coming across some of the most bizarre stories. Yesterday I was doing a bit of research for something and I found... I think it's called The Musicians of Bremen.
Oh, yes.
With the animals.
Yes, there's a donkey. Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, I didn't realise that exists.
Yes.
And the face sitting next to me was like, oh, that's one of my favourite fairy tales from childhood ever. And I was like, amazing, I've never heard of that one, but it's so bonkers.
It's brilliant. And I this seems a bit weird, but my cultural stuff in Cambridge started actually primarily with a group called Cambridge Storytellers, who are awesome, and they inspired this as well. And when we were sort of talking about this, I was talking with Marion about this, and she said, "Oh, that's amazing! I'm really glad that you're sort of using this as well with you." And I just love the fact that we get to play with these characters now as well, and things like. The things like the Firebird came up as well, which obviously has inspired other forms of art. I'm going to get this wrong now. It's Stravinsky, I think, is the Firebird suite and stuff like that. So there's lots of stuff that goes on with that. Sorry.
I love the fact that you're making this sound really highbrow. It is really quite silly and really quite fun. I think the story came out with a bunch of people who were like worried about people stealing Pringles in the canteen.
That's true.
You end up with that from Stravinsky's.
It's something for everyone.
Exactly. I hope so. Yeah.
Well, it just sounds like you're having a lot of fun with this. And, one of my questions was, what is it about improvisation you enjoy? It's obvious. It just allows you to play, I suppose, and use different parts of your brain.
Play is a huge one, I think. We get taught not to play as adults, I think, and play is a hugely important part of creativity, I think, and this sort of making yourself vulnerable, I think, as well. That definitely happens, and we're very lucky as a group that we have a huge amount of trust built up over the time that we've played together, and you can come on and play these sort of open-hearted emotional scenes with each other, and then drop a little joke in and sort of really break the tension and be completely supported in that.
I think it's a few things about improv for me. Like, I think one of the things is actually also the fact that it, like, anyone can play it, even if you don't have any experience at all. So I did a course last week which was an improvisation course, but it was open to everybody. So it had a full range of, like, theatre practitioners who were, like, one of them was a West End performer, another one who'd never done any improv at all. And the beauty was that we were all playing together and we were all playing the same games, but everyone brings something to it, and that it is a hugely accessible thing, and it's tapping into something that everybody has. I think the other thing is also this ability to fail, this permission to fail. That was one of the words from last week, was this idea of permission. Is as adults, we get very locked up into the idea that we can't fail, that is a bad thing. And improv encourages failure. Yeah. I'm not going to say allows failure, it encourages it. Just allow whatever happens to happen, and that's great. And if you bring that into your daily life, if you bring that into your work, or for me, like, into creative practice, that's an amazing mindset. It means things come out that you did not expect, and I think that's so vital for creative.
That's fantastic. I think that's what you mean, because if you have this structure of what it's like to fail and succeed, and then you have come across something which is allegedly, according to this paradigm, a failure, and you go, oh my god, but that's so much more beautiful than anything I would have thought of, and you sort of, like, you take this and you take it with joy and you move it on, and get a little bit enthusiastic.
No, that's great. But you teach improvisation, Carla.
I do, yeah. So that's like a few of the things that we've talked about there are kind of like cornerstones of teaching improv. I am a firm believer that anyone can do it, anyone can perform, and one of the joys of teaching is the fact that you kind of get people who go, oh, I'm not funny, I don't want to, and they're like, as soon as you give them this permission, it's that word again, they are up and enjoying it. And I love the idea, and I think a lot of what the work we do is based on the idea that you don't like, you don't have to have reams of stand-up material, that the ordinary is what is funny. So I think I alluded to the Pringles tin discussion. This is just an ordinary conversation between people in a fire station, but it's hilarious for some reason, because it's so ordinary and so relatable. And I think people, like everyone in their world, has that material in them all the time, and all the improv does is just bring that out.
Yeah, and what I also love about, we're talking about Carla teaching, and what I love about that is, again, about improv, it is a continual learning process as well. I mean, recently there are more complex things that you play with, or you can play with, as you get more experienced. But recently we've been playing some games which are sort of quote unquote basic games, and finding real joy in them again, and sort of reconnecting like really, really deeply as a group through sort of playing the games that we used to play when we first started out improvising. It's been a real joy.
So the group you mentioned there, it's Ministry of Unplanned Occurrences. There's you two.
Yeah.
And another two?
There's also Erica Dupuis and Mark Whitehouse. Erica teaches theatre over at Conservatoire East as well. And, and we've all been playing together, off and on for about 5 years. Some of us in the group itself has been together sort of 15 months.
You should also mention Jess as well.
Oh, Jess, of course, yes.
For the kind of more, I guess, like the fairy tale, which we had for this show, we had her for Gods and Monsters, we had her for the steampunk show that we did. We have a musician called Jess Law, and she is an amazing kind of she does songs that are very kind of ethereal, kind of but also kind of bizarre. I think she was telling us about a Kafkaesque song that was
based
to the tune of something like a nursery rhyme.
She's done a Kafka version of Teddy Bear's Picnic.
That's
which
it.
Has just been, we heard it last week, and it just blew me away. And this is the sort of again, Jess is sort of one of these people that thinks she doesn't improvise and what have you, but this joy in the absurd that she gets there, she's a phenomenal musician, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have her on board with this show.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have a musician to kind of, she'll be underscoring scenes and kind of playing music as we come in, come out between scenes and that kind of thing. And I think it really adds something to the kind of theatricality to it. And I also think it's really nice for us to be performing in a theatre. Improv is quite often sort of in back of pub or whatever, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I think we also get an added bonus of kind of lighting and musician and that kind of thing, which makes it like a large thing. And the technician becomes part of the show as well. We've got someone on lights for us who'll kind of be, they'll effectively be editing the scenes.
They
directly,
will. Damien will have a certain amount to say. We'll be playing with him as well as the audience. And that is the other joyous thing about improv. Everyone basically gets involved. We involve the audience, we involve the technician, we involve the musician, and we get to play on stage as well. It's great.
It sounds fantastic. And it's the 4th to the 6th of April at the ADC.
That's correct.
Twisted Tales, and people can book tickets adctheatre.com. If people want to learn improv, Carl, if they're listening to this and think this sounds great fun and they want to contact you.
Oh, cool. So I run a company called Red Cape Improv. So if you are on Facebook or even on Twitter as well, you can find Red Cape Improv, and that's a great way to get in touch with me.
Excellent. Well, good luck, guys. Is it not scary when you go out there thinking we don't know what's going to happen tonight?
It's joyous. It is. Somebody was speaking the other day to me, I think it was in fact this morning, and they said sort of nerves are actually just excitement in disguise, which sounds very twee, but I took it and ran with it, so I like that a lot.
I would say yes, and I would never want that to change, and
no.
I don't think it ever should change.
No.
As a performer, that's part of its joy.
Well, good luck. That's the 4th to the 6th of April, ADC Twisted Tales. It's at adctheatre.com if you want to book tickets. Thanks.
Thank you so much.